Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
So how many were here this morning? Oh, you guys were here this morning? You heard Pastor Napoleon share? That was a good word, guys. God's, we're looking for workers, and we need to step into what God has for us. That's a challenging word, but we need to step into that. You know what? It's amazing. Today's the first time I've seen Pastor Napoleon in many years, about 16 years. But it's amazing how just you ever met anybody? Within a matter of just seconds, there's a connection. Because you're the same heart, same spirit, the DNA of the Holy Spirit. And it's such a pleasure to see, after all these years, that the man did not burn out. He didn't spin out. You know, the devil took his shot, I'm sure, a couple times. But you're still here. You're firing away. He's got a great church over in Livermore. And just to hear the testimony, and I want to hear more testimonies, because these are life-changing testimonies. You get a guy that's comes out of a world that people just dream about, and he comes in and he gets the priorities right. And we're here tonight to hear from the man of God, the word of God. Guys, let's all stand up and just give a shout for Pastor Napoleon here this evening.
Amen, y'all. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. We just give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you for the privilege to hear your word, to preach your word. And Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, fellas. Well, I must say that I'm a little irritated right now. My Raiders lost. And so, and you 49er fans should be sad too. It's one of those days. And so, but praise God anyhow. Amen. But I'm excited to be here tonight and just so grateful that Pastor Chris and Pastor David invited me to come. I had not been here. Maybe I think I may have come 2 years ago or something like that. But I'm always checking up on you guys to see how the church is doing and how God is moving in your midst. And I get all the reports from Pastor David. So I'm just so thankful to see what God's doing. This is the first time I've spoken to just the men. So this is a blessing to be with you guys and share the word of God. You know, whether you guys realize it or not, the world wants to emasculate men. You know, the culture is pushing towards that. The devil knows that if he can get the men, he can get homes. He can get the kids. He can get the children. He can get the wives. If he can just get men to get out of place. And so for all of us, I think we have to really consider this and step up to the challenge that, God, I'm going to lead my family. I'm going to lead my life in singleness the way that you designed it and the way that you want me to lead it, so that we can have the impact that God wants us to have on the culture and to see people's lives change for his glory. Amen? Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 9, and I want to talk to you about the power of conversion. You know, when Jesus comes in to a person's life, one word that was important when you look at his ministry was the word convert, be converted. You know, and I think conversion is important. All of us have to get to a place in our minds where we're willing to change our minds and go in the direction that God is looking for us to go. And unfortunately, when people think about Christianity, oftentimes they think about just going to a church, joining a local church, getting involved in the community of the church, maybe signing up for a couple events or a couple ministries just to serve. But you're not really and truly a member of God's church until you become converted, till you embrace the fullness of Jesus' teachings. You're willing to repent of your sins, and you're willing to come under his lordship in your life. That's the power of conversion. When you're all in, when you've thrown all your eggs into the basket. You know, Christianity is not, and church is not just a social club. You know, God's trying to raise up an army for himself, and he's trying to raise up a people that are fully in love with him and are willing to submit to his leadership and his hand. And so I think, you know, we've so watered this thing down, especially with men. We water this thing down. So, you know, as long as I go and I punch my ticket, I'm good. As long as I give a little money to church, you know. But are you converted? Have you been converted? Has Jesus truly got a hold of your heart? Has he got a hold of your mind? Has he got a hold of your will, your emotions? Has he come in and is he Lord over every aspect of your life? Lord, I submit my life fully over to you. In Acts chapter 9, we see something happen here that I think is amazing. And I love this chapter, and in particular these first nine verses. It says here in verse 1, it says, then Saul, who later became Paul, the Apostle Paul, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Well, we know Saul at this time was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was very educated. He was very clear in his disdain towards anything that would take away from Judaism and the practices of the Jewish nation. He was a person that was fully committed to defending his faith, defending the truth. And we see in these verses, he was willing to go so far as to grab people and throw them into prison if they were going to affect, you know, what he believed to be truth at this time. And the thing about it is, when you think about conversion, I love this chapter, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what socioeconomic situation you're in, what kind of cultural, you know, background you have, what other spiritual experience you have, that God is able to change your life. He's able to change anyone's life. It doesn't matter. You could have been a worse drug addict. We go into San Quentin all the time, preach to those guys. You could be on death row. God can change your life. God can save you. You could have gotten involved in the worst sin and stuff that you've never told anyone. But God can change your life. You can be the most educated person in this room and think that you know everything. But God can change your life. You could be a person that you don't have an education. It doesn't matter to God. God knows that he can change your life. And in this particular situation, we see a man who obviously was going in the wrong direction, but God began to pursue him because he wanted to change his life, and he's had purpose for his life. It says in verse 3, it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This is powerful, because the thing that's most important when it comes to conversion is the divine encounter. I think that this is something that people need to know. I mean, I love inviting people to our church, and we have a wonderful church. Our church is great. I love it. But the thing that gets me more than anything, I shouldn't say more than anything, but it gets me, is when people are so bent on bringing people to church that they don't lead them to Jesus right where they are. It's one thing to invite a person to church. It's one thing to invite them into a relationship with Jesus. And I think, obviously, church is a part of that. Church is a blessing. And yes, people will find Jesus at your church. But this didn't happen in a church. This happened on the streets. This happened out there. And Jesus pursued him. Jesus had an encounter with him. And I think this is the big thing, that the encounter is the important. The encounter with him is what's ultimately going to change. You can talk to a person until they're blue in the face, but until you're willing, until they, bam, they encounter him, they'll just be church attendings. See, my salvation didn't happen in the church. I've been preaching the gospel now for 20 years or whatever it is. And when I got saved, I didn't get saved in the church. So my context isn't just church, and though I love the local church, and I'm a firm believer in the local church. Everybody should have a local church and have a pastor in their life. But when I first gave my life to Christ, it didn't happen in the church. I was in Napa, California at training camp. I was on the football field out there with Tim Brown, James Jett, a bunch of the other guys were out there on the field. And one of my teammates heard me talking to those guys and cussing and acting crazy like those guys. And he looked at me. He said, "Hey, Napoleon." This is during practice. He said, "Hey, Napoleon, you don't even look like the type of guy to be out here cussing and acting crazy like the rest of these guys." He says, "Don't you know God can use your life?" That's all he said. And when he said it to me, I said, "Man, who are you talking to like that?" Because, you know, I'm from the hood, y'all. Don't just roll up on a brother like that. But when he said that, I said something back to him. And then all of a sudden, I just heard these words of mine. "Don't you know God can use your life? Don't you know God can use your life?" I didn't grow up in a Christian home. We were CMEs, Christmas, Mother's Day, Easter. And so I didn't really grow up around Jesus. You know, I hear about the Lord and, "Oh yeah, he died for your sins," and different things like that. So I knew where to go to when I was ready. My heart was ready. When he said that, all I heard was, "Don't you know God can use your life? Don't you know God can use your life?" I just kept hearing it. I went back to my room at training camp in Napa, in the hotel room, with nobody else around me. I got down on my knees by my bed, and I started bawling. And it was like something was released. Jesus met me in that room. And in that moment, and this is the thing I love about this, in that moment, something shifted. I made up my mind that the direction I was going, I was not going that direction anymore. I made a decision that whatever this Bible said, I want to do it. I'm not going to fight with it. I want to do it. And I gave my life to God right there in that room all by myself. And I got up the next day, and I knew God, his presence had come. God had touched me in my room that night. I got up the next day, and I came to my teammate. I said, "Hey, man, I gave my life to Jesus last night." And he was like, "What?" I said, "I'm serious." I said, "Last night, something happened to me, man. I went back to my room, and I gave my life to Jesus. I want to know if you could help me." And so from that day forward, it's been 20 years now. That day forward, I have never looked back in that one moment. And my relationship with God hadn't been like this either. It's been, this is my life. This is it. All my eggs are in this basket. This is it. I'm not messing with anyone up. "Well, what about the girls, man? What about the Raiders? What about the..." No, what about Jesus? He just saved me. And what happens is this, is we don't realize that when you have that encounter, God reveals himself to you. You know, it just really, sometimes I even feel... makes me feel uncomfortable to think that as bad as I was, as much mess as I got involved in, is the stuff that I did and all this mess that my life was tore up, that God would pursue me. I never forget that. One of the things I tell our church all the time, I tell my church, I say, "Listen, don't ever forget where Jesus found you. Don't ever forget. Don't get so saved that you don't forget, that you forget where he found you at, though." And so we see here that he has this encounter in verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Now watch this, you guys. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And look at this. He asked the two most important questions you will ever ask the Lord. He says this in verse 5. And he said, number one, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. He asked this question, who are you, Lord? And this is what happens when we really come into conversion. Our desire isn't to be used before we have revelatory knowledge of who he is. His first question is, who are you? Who are you? And I think this is something that we all have to ask ourselves on a daily basis. Ask the Lord on a daily basis. Lord, reveal yourself more to me. Are you here as a man because you really want to know who Jesus is? Are you here as a man because I'm here, man, I just have to know him more. I want to know more about his character. I want to know more about his intentions. I want to know more about his perception of things. I want to get a glimpse of God's mind, a glimpse of his heart towards me and towards other people. I want to experience and get to know God's love and his compassion. I want to know his justice and his judgment. I want to know the depths of his person and understand who he really is. Obviously, this is progressively is revealed to us over time, but the quest should be never ending. That God, I want to know who you are. I don't want to just go to church. I want to know who God is. I want to wake up in the morning and know his presence, to know his face, to know how he speaks, to know his voice. I want to know him. And this is when conversion really sets in, and when you really get into a place, this is what you ask, Lord, who are you? My mom told me about you. My dad told me about you. Man, this preacher, this bald-headed preacher keeps telling me about you. But Lord, you reveal yourself to me. I want you to touch me. I want to feel your presence. Everybody else says they feel your presence. Why is my wife always feeling your presence? I don't feel your presence. I want to feel your presence. I want to know who you are. Lord, I want you to speak to me in dreams. I want you to give me revelation. I want you to open the eyes of my understanding, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, what I might know, what is the hope of your calling. I want to know the depths of who you are. I want to know you. Guys, this is where we have to get. Oh, well, Pastor Kaufman, don't try to get mushy on me, man. No, we got to get mushy. We got to open up our hearts and say, God, reveal yourself to me. I want to get up in the morning and know your will for my life. Know what you're dreaming for my life. I want to know who you are. This is what Apostle Paul does. It's his first question. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? Not how much money you're going to give me. Now, how many doors you're going to give me? Are you going to bless me? Are you going to give me this? Are you going to give me that? Are you going to do this for me? Are you going to open this door? He says, who are you? And men, this is what we need again. The world's trying to define who Jesus is. The world's trying to paint a picture of a Jesus that's toothless and powerless. And the church falls for it. The church just lets the world try to define to us who Jesus is. But Jesus defines to us who Jesus is. There's no way to know who he is until he begins to reveal himself. And we have to be patient and allow him to progressively reveal the different characteristics of his character and begin to reveal himself to us. And it's something that we should long for. God, show me your face. I want to know you. I don't want to just be a preacher. I want to be a worshiper. I don't want to be a person that just knows how to do the churchy stuff. I want to know God. And what happens, man, when we begin to start pursuing God like this, it's what opens his heart even more to us. And he starts to reveal who he is, like what he says. He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, verse 5. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, and this is question number two, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. I love this. He gets the first question right. His heart is right. I want to know who God is. Then the next thing is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I think that's the next question we must ask of the Lord as men. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to work? Where do you want me to live? What do you want me to do? I can remember when I, in the prime of my career, I walked away from pro sports. I just walked away. 28 years old at the time, playing for the Raiders. I was averaging I averaged 5.4 yards a carry. I had just signed a 2-year, $6 million deal. I played the first year, so they owed me another $3 million. And I wish I had that $3 million right now. But anyway, praise Him anyhow. Praise Him anyhow. Praise Him anyhow. Praise Him anyhow. So then the Lord started dealing with me about walking away from playing. And I was like, I know the Lord's voice. So I started talking to my wife. My wife is awesome. Honey, whatever God's calling you to do, you need to do it. I'm with you. Then I called Pastor David. I said, Pastor David, I said, this is what I'm hearing God say. And my wife, she has a witness in her spirit. And then she was like, he was like, hey, man, you know, if God's telling you to do this, I'll pray with you on it. He didn't try to stop me and he didn't try to push me. He was just in the position of support. Then I remember I called my first pastor, Pastor James Davis. God rest his soul. He died years ago. And I called him. I said, Pastor Davis, I said, I'm hearing the Lord tell me to retire and to go into ministry. And you know, because he's called me to do this. And I was just telling him a story. And fellas, he just got silent on the phone for like 2 minutes. He just got silent. And I'm just sitting there and I told him, and he just got silent. And he said to me, he said, son, I was concerned he was going to do this to you. Whew, almost bring me to tears, man. He got silent. He said, I was concerned he was going to do this to you. He said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's all he said. He said, whatever he's telling you to do, do it. We need old school preachers like that. Whatever he's telling you to do, do it. And he didn't say, well, what about this? He said, whatever he's telling you to do, do it. And, you know, I never dreamed that I would be doing all the stuff that I'm doing now. But when people ask me about it, they say, well, you know, why did you just retire like that? You know, it just didn't seem right. Or, you know, they have their different reasons. I had one preacher tell me, Pastor, you're crazy. You're stupid. Why would you do that? You're going to mess up your platform. And all of a sudden, a pastor told me that. And I never thought I'd be doing all the stuff I'm doing now. But I tell people, what I did was not a matter of reason. It was a matter of obedience. Did he tell you to do it? And that's the question. And so the Apostle Paul is here, and this is the question he asks. He says, what do you want me to do? For a lot of men, unfortunately, they want to do something and then ask God to bless it. But that's a sign that, is your heart really converted? Are you really turned
fully over to God? Does he have lordship in your life? Because at the end of the day, God's not just trying to bless our plans. He's trying to bless his plan in your life. And that's the key. Is it God's not obligated to endorse our stuff. He's obligated to endorse and empower us to do what he's called us to do, so that his purpose and his plan gets blessed. The Apostle Paul here, Saul here, he's able to recognize that immediately, but that's where his heart was at. That's what conversion is about. God, I give up. I surrender. I belong all to you. I want to know who you are, and I want to know what you want me to do. If you want me to do this, then I'm willing. My heart is willing to do it. And he says in verse 6, so he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Somebody say must do. What you must do. This is what you must do. This is what I'm looking for you to do. He goes down in verse 7. He says, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand, and he brought him and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. You know, this man's life was changed in a moment. He has this encounter. He has this encounter with God, and his life is changed. You never saw him go back. You never saw him go on a roller coaster with God. You never saw him. He, from this moment on, bam, something shifted. Why? Because he got converted. He fully was turned over to the will of God. And his heart was bent towards God. And you saw him go on, and there was no question concerning his life from this moment forward. He went on to write some 13, some say 14 books in this holy canon. He went forth, and God used him all over the world and the known world. And God just cities, tore cities upside down with the gospel. Impacted the culture. Was willing to give of himself fully for the purpose of God because of this moment. And guys, I think we got to get back to this place where our Christianity isn't just something that we do. You know, it's just, no, this is your life. My life belongs to God. That's your life, that you've made up your mind. My life belongs to God. And that's it. And if you have a will to do that, God will keep you. People ask me, how in the world did you stay saved playing for the Raiders? How did you do that? And people ask me all the time, you know, how did you do this? And let me say this to you guys, because, you know, I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, love the Lord. But you guys know, those Raider cheerleaders aren't ugly. So let's just be real. But when you're saved and you're sanctified and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you could care less how they look. Your love for God keeps you. Your passion for the Lord keeps you. You could care less. I could care less about how them girls look. The bottom line is, God is beautiful to me. And it doesn't matter how that person looks or that this and this temptation. It doesn't matter. What matters is that's what keeps you. That's what kept the Apostle Paul going. His passion and love for God and his conversion. It kept him going regardless of the circumstance and the temptation and the test and the trials and the heartaches, the hiccups and all the mess. He was converted. So all this other stuff doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And we have to get to a place like this in our lives, men, where all the other stuff, it doesn't matter, man. You can try to get me with pornography, not going to matter. You can come to my cubicle and try to get me to sin or offer me some weed, offer me this. It's not going to matter. My passion for God, it's your passion for God and your conversion that causes you anything that would take away from your relationship with God, you're willing to reject it. Because you've asked those two questions. Lord, who are you? And what do you want me to do? I'm here. You've had your encounter. And so, man, I want to challenge you this afternoon to look deep into your heart. Where are you really? The Lord wants you. The church loves you. But where are you really? Am I in a position where I'm saying, Lord, I've given it fully to you. I've given it all up to you. I want to lay my life down to serve you. And I know that, Jesus, you didn't die so you can serve, so you can just serve me. You died so I would lay down my life for you now. And so, Lord Jesus, we just come before you tonight. And I pray that this message challenges all of us to look deep into our hearts to find out where we're really at. Lord, we don't want to be people that just go to church. We want the power of conversion to have its full effect in our hearts and minds. If you could change this man's life in a moment, you can change any man or woman's life in a moment. Lord, he never looked back. And he had his temptations. He had his doubters. He had people who probably questioned what he was doing as he was leaving his religion and being swept into the way. But Lord, he kept with you because you revealed yourself to him and you showed him what you wanted him to do. I pray that today that these two questions will be asked by all of us in this room. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Reveal what you want us to do, Lord. Make it plain. Make it clear that we would have no question and send people in our lives like you sent Pastor James Davis in my life to tell me whatever he asks you to do, do it. As foolish as it may sound, as crazy as it may sound, whatever he asks you to do, do it. Lord, help us to be this kind of man. Help us to be men of God. Help us to be men that know you and know your purpose and plan for our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we get this opportunity to serve you. You could have called anyone, but Lord, you called us. We want to be converted. Thank you for the power of conversion, Lord. Thank you for the power of conversion today. You changed him. Now change us. God, we just give you all the glory. All the glory. Come on, man. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, man. You know, I want to have a time right now of prayer. Maybe there's some men here, you know, that God is calling you. Maybe there's some men here, you're saying to yourself, I need to hear this, man. I'm going to stop playing around with Jesus. I'm going to stop playing around, Pastor. I'm playing. I've been playing. I'm going to be honest. I've been playing. If you're in this room and you know, Pastor, it's time. I want to jump all in, man. I want to jump all in for Jesus. I want you to come on up to the altar. We want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Come on. Come on, don't you let the devil stop you, man. Don't you let the devil stop you. Right now, make that decision. Come on up. Come on up. All of us have been there. Today's a day. Come on up. Is there anybody else? Anyone else? Lord, these men that are here right now, I just pray. Lord, I just rebuke every demon that would try to stop them from going full force after your purpose.
I thank you that you brought them here for such a time as this. And this moment is a moment of change. It's a moment of resurrection. It's a moment of renewal. It is a moment of restoration. And Lord, I just pray today that as they ask those two questions, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would reveal what they must do. And Lord, I just ask right now, not only for them, but their families, for their friends, for their coworkers, that everyone around them would see something shift in their hearts. And Lord, they would see a change, a true conversion, that something would shift and that your name would be glorified in them. Lord, we just give you praise, Lord, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. And we praise you, Lord, that we believe the gospel. And this day is a day of change for every man under the sound of my voice. That God, all of us need more of you. All of us need to know more fully what you've called us to do. We want to enjoy the beauty of conversion. Lord, speak to these men. Talk to them openly. Reveal yourself. Can I get some other men to come up here to the altar? Let's pray for these men. Can I get some guys, some other altar workers, some other guys, and let's just lay hands and pray for these men that are here. One moment, fellas, changed. One moment changed his life forever. One. Yes, Lord Jesus. One moment changed his life forever. One moment. Come on, fellas, point your hand at these guys. Let's continue to pray. Let's believe God to do something special. Yes, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, move. Have your way. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes,
Pastor. You know, Pastor Napoleon, I sense not just these men here, but there's a number of other men. Let's all just close our eyes, guys. We're going to ask this question. Do you know what to do? Because I believe, and I really sense, Pastor Napoleon, you really touched on something here, that some of us know what to do, but are we yielding to it? You know what? It is such a blessing to see that Pastor Napoleon, just as an example, he was so transparent. I remember those days. I remember talking to you about that decision with Pastor David. You were at the cross, brother. Walking away from a $3 million contract. Not only that, but the reputation and all, whatever, because he was obedient. And let's all just pray right now, because I sense right now that some of us here, we know what to do, but do we have the courage to do it? And I sense there's an anointing in this room right here, right now. And I just sense the hand of Jesus Christ upon the men of Gateway right here, right now. That's given us the courage to say, I will do what I'm supposed to do with my wife, with my family, with my children. There's some repentance that we need to do, man. Come on, we got to man up. There's some repentance that we need. Some of us need to go home to our wives and say, you know what? I am sorry for my ego, my pride, my arrogance, my rejection. And I sense by the Spirit of God, there's going to be some restoration of marriages. And I sense, too, that some of us know what to do regarding our children, our kids. Some of us need to go pick up the phone, Ed, and just call up our sons or daughters someplace and say, you know what? I was wrong on what I did or how I handled it. I just really sense right now, we know what to do. It's like this morning, Pastor Napoleon talked about God looking for workers. Men, we should be on the front line at Gateway, not the women, the men stepping into what God has called us to do. And I really sense right now the anointing is up upon the men to give us the courage to do. Come on, guys, just raise your hands, right? Everybody in the room right now. Just make a solemn vow, a commitment right now. Even as this pastor told Napoleon, do what God tells you to do. I speak in Jesus' name that the Spirit of God breathe upon us right now, myself included, all of us here, that we do what you called us to do. Come on, guys, just right now, make whatever it is, just begin to pour out your heart before God, because there's a level of obedience that we're rising into. And we want to ask, oh, Lord, who are you? And what do you want us to do? And Lord, we're going to see a change within Gateway. We're going to see a change within our work environment. Some of us stepping up, some of us bowing down, some of us bending our knee. Lord, right now, Lord God, we thank you for the courage to step in and do. Lord, irrespective of what the ramifications might be, what other people might say, Lord, we're going to walk away from pornography. We're going to walk away from the accolades of man. We're going to walk away from those sins which weigh us down. We're going to walk away. Lord God, we're going to walk into you. Jesus, we want to walk into an encounter with the Spirit of God. We're going to walk away. We're going to say, no, devil, you cannot have my life, my family, my kids, my future. Tonight, we make a decision, men. Tonight, we make a decision. Come on, tonight, we make a decision where we stand before the Lord and we thank him for what he's done. We thank him for what he's going to do. And we stand in that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now, listen, I really want to encourage you guys, if you need to talk to one of the pastors here, we got Pastor Brian, Pastor Chip, Pastor Brad here. We got Tim, Appleby, Lloyd. We got men of God here. Listen, guys, don't fight the battles on your own. Pick up the phone, make a phone call, say, listen, I know what I need to do, but I need some help. Well, you know what? AJ, that's all right, right? We need help. We need one another, brother. I need you. You need me. We need one another. That's why we stand. Everybody, lock arms together. Lock arms together, man. Lock arms. Lock arms right now. And Father God, we know one of the things that we need to do is we stand together as man. And guys, I don't know about you, but I have a war declaration against this spirit of isolation of men. The enemy wants to listen. There's men that should be here tonight. They're not. And we need to go find them because the enemy's trying to take them out. I know one right specifically, right? Galacio, there's a man that needs to be here. He's not here because the enemy's blindsided him. And he needs to be here tonight. Right now, do we just look at your neighbor on your left and on your right and say, I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. We're going to go to battle together. We're going to fight together. We're going to pray together. And listen, guys, can I just be bold with you? I challenge every man in this room to come out on a Saturday morning prayer meeting. Pastor David, all the pastors, we're here at 6:30 in the morning, and we pray. We need men that will pray. I challenge you to come on out and be a part of the prayer team. Lord God, we stand together tonight, united, Lord God, with the band, with the men, Lord God. We ate, we had fun together, but right now, Lord God, we want to fight together. Come on, just pray for the guy next to you. Pray for the guy in front of you. Pray for the guy to your left and to your right. That there would be the courage to do what God's called us to do. That there would be the stamina to stay in the battle, to not draw back, but the ability to draw swords, the ability to press in, to fight through the pain, Lord, to fight through the discouragement, to fight through, Lord God, the setbacks. And we just thank you right now, Lord God, for lifting us up, for lifting us up. For lifting us up. We thank you, Lord God, for lifting us up, Lord God, and bringing us into that place where you want us to walk. In Jesus' name, go ahead. He's lifting us up. Go ahead. Sure, bring. Come on, let's sing it out, guys. Let's lift it up, guys.
Shout your praise, my heart's cry, my peace.
So, Father, right now, we just thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to worship you. We thank you for the word, and we make a decision tonight, Lord God, to walk in what you have called us to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our